Well, the staff wasn't totally blindsided, Jesse. They had a one-minute heads up. We are told that President Biden convened a group of senior staff from the White House and the campaign, and they were told at 1:45 that he was changing his mind, going to drop out. The public announcement, when we all found out, was 1:46 p.m. And just in the last few minutes, we were told that President Biden has no public events on his schedule for tomorrow, and then the rest of the week is just blank. They are trying to figure out what exactly to do with him, but it seems like the plan with announcing this is put it out the way that they did, paper statement, don't actually see or hear from the president, and then figure out a time midweek to have him come back here, or maybe they're going to do something in Wilmington, Delaware.
Sandy Rios with you. That was Peter Ducey on Fox telling us, at least in bits, about the president, Joe Biden, stepping down like not in his own words. He didn't write the letter. He sort of disappeared. And so the bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, is that we don't really have a president right now. We can see with our own eyes and with our own ears that we are being led by someone not elected, by some entity, some wizard behind the curtain. And so we're going to talk about that resignation. We're going to talk about what's behind it. I'm going to talk to you about the intrigue of Kamala Harris now seemingly being the next candidate. I also want to talk to you today. I'm just telling you, the problem is that there is a pivot in our understanding of what's happening in the world. With the Republican convention last week, there was a great high, and for good reason. So this is my goal. I want to tell you all these bad things, and I want to warn you about what's happening. And then at the end of the show, I want to restore your hope again, okay? So that's my plan. You know, this is Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7. You can call us at 662-821-2040. That's 662-821-2040. You can write me at sandy@afr.net, and certainly we would love to hear from you. This is when I regret I can't open the phone lines and talk to you. But you can find us on all the social media platforms. You can find this podcast at our home base, which is afr.net. You can also find it on Spotify and Apple and wherever your podcast platform is that you enjoy using. So now we have to recalibrate our thinking. We get lost in all of this. This is the purpose, you know. Not only does the left enjoy it, but I think that, you know, Satan himself loves confusion. And he loves to, like, draw us into all of it. And I'm certainly drawn into it right now. But I want to remind you that there is a God who's powerful. And one of the things that we state every day is the sanctity of human life. The fact that he created us and does not. Before the Ten Commandments were ever written in the Genesis, God said you shouldn't shed men's blood. It's a serious thing when you do that. And that's why abortion is wrong. It will always be wrong. It was always wrong. Taking the life, certainly, of an innocent child in your womb. And that's why, through preborn, we try to show moms what their babies look like in the womb and to just persuade them to not do that, don't do that, don't allow that in your baby. And most of them decide they'll keep the baby, or they'll at least adopt it out or not. Not okay, the termination of the baby's life. And so that's why preborn is so effective. It works, it works, it works. And so if you would like to help them, and I hope that you will, go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. Now, all right, sit back. You might want pencil and paper. I probably will tell you things you're not hearing. It's possible. Some things you will have heard. I hope you're informed. I want you to be. But it's important that we equip you in the very best way we can at this microphone to face what's happening right now in this country. So sit back and maybe relax and listen to this edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness, that we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice. Not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line.
Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up. Speak up. Say something. Do something. All right, Sandy Rios with you. Let's just say a lot of things are happening. And so I feel compelled to sort of talk to you on what's happening today. Right now, this morning, this is Monday when I'm recording this. The House is, of course, doing their hearings with the Secret Service on the attempted assassination of President Trump. We are actually not going to talk about that today, but that's one major thing. And then you've got Joe Biden, who has just stepped down from running for president in this next election. You've got the heir apparent Kamala Harris, and you have all kinds of infighting. And then we also are at the first Monday after an incredible convention where President Trump selects J.D. Vance, and we went through a lot of that, but there was a lot about that convention that we didn't talk about. So we're going to try to do a lot of that today, except we're not going to talk about we'll talk about the Secret Service and the hearings and the assassination and all we're learning about it in a later podcast this week coming up. All right, so it happened suddenly, and that was yesterday afternoon. Suddenly, I kept getting this in my inbox that Joe Biden has stepped down from the campaign. He says, my fellow Americans, over the past 3.5 years, we have made great progress as a nation. Today, America has the strongest economy in the world, blah, 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 blah. And I say blah, blah, because he didn't write this. We know that. I believe today what I always have, that there is nothing America can't do when we do it together. We just have to remember we are the United States of America. And it is not his real signature on the letter, and no one has seen or heard from him since this happened. It's also true that his schedule, I think Peter mentioned this, his schedule for this week is just blank. His wife, Jill, and he are at Rehoboth Beach, where they always are, and they were there when this all happened. So people are wondering, did Joe even know about this? Has anybody told him? Was this a coup, maybe? That's what people are thinking, and I'm kind of thinking that too. If Joe Biden were in on this, because he kept saying he's not stepping down, then why isn't he speaking? Why don't we see him? Well, now here's an interesting little wrinkle. His brother Frank gave a statement. Well, so we think. This was CBS News yesterday. Let's listen.
Younger brothers, and here's what he told us. He said, I'm incredibly proud of my brother. Selfishly, I will have him back to enjoy whatever time we have left. He is a genuine hero. Country over self. It sounds corny in our cynical political environment, but he nor I are cynical. The goal remains the same: defeat Trump and continue the work that Joe has done. My hope is that our party rallies around this heroic act. We asked him whether he feels that his brother's overall health and vitality played a major role in this decision, and he says, in my humble opinion, absolutely. So a member of the president's family now confirming that the president's health was indeed a major factor in this decision and calling his brother a hero for making the decision to pass the torch to Kamala Harris.
So, Nancy, sorry, can you clarify that the family is saying his health was or was not a factor?
He's saying that, in his humble opinion, yes, the president's health and vitality played a considerable role in his decision. It's important to note, Frank Biden is not speaking for the family writ large. This was simply a conversation between CBS News and Frank Biden. Unclear how much input he had in this decision, but he says that he believes that his brother's health did play a role, and he says that the goal remains the same: to defeat Donald Trump.
Well, that is notable because to date, the family, the White House, the establishment has rejected the premise that there was anything that was challenging the president's mental acuity or his health, and that all these accusations were baseless, that it was just age and a few, you know, difficult nights like he had on the debate stage. So that is a change in message.
Yes, it is. His brother says, I will have him back to enjoy whatever time we have left. Now, look, his brother might have been perfectly sincere in this, but there are so many games being played that we don't trust anything that's happening right now. So Joe Biden has disappeared. We don't see him. Now, here's the interesting thing. The brother is saying they think it's his health. The media, of course, has covered for this for such a long time up until that debate. But now, think about this, if you haven't already. President Biden has stepped down from the campaign. He's not going to run for president, but he's going to remain the president for the next 6 months. This man who we can't see him, we don't know where he is. He doesn't actually write this himself. He doesn't come out and make a statement. He doesn't record a statement. He doesn't do anything. He's disappeared. He's disappeared. So is Jill. Where's Jill? The whole family should have. This was a legitimate announcement. They should have all been there. Something is kind of rotten in Denmark, as they say, and I'll probably touch on that as best I can. And by the way, as Peter said, Biden's staff was blindsided in the White House. They didn't know until this thing was posted on Twitter. A guy named Zients, Z-I-E-N-T-S, I don't have his first name here, has been managing much of the communications across the administration, holding calls on Sunday afternoon with both the cabinet and the senior White House staffers. Zients is scheduled to hold an all-staff White House call on Monday morning, as well as a call with appointees across the executive branch. Who the heck is Zients? Who is running this country? Who? Who? And I think it's Sean Davis who said, in any other country, we would be calling this a coup. And there's no evidence that Biden is even capable, that he's disappeared or they haven't done something to him. Why is he standing down? I don't know. It's just, it's wacky enough since the attempted assassination of President Trump. I don't think there's anything that the dark forces, whatever you want to call them, in this country won't do to get their way. So I want to point this just in truncated or bullet point fashion. Let me give you this. Joe Biden's resignation is not on official letterhead. Biden's signature is suspect. It's underlined. It doesn't make sense. Steve Ricchetti, whoever that is, helped write the letter. Jill Biden tweets a heart emoji in response. The White House wipes Biden's schedule. The White House chief of staff calls cabinet, manages comms. Frank Biden confirms health is a factor. The family suggests Biden may have a terminal illness. Joe Biden holds no live press conference. Where is Joe? Okay, so that's where we are on Monday. That's when I'm recording this, and by the time you hear it, you'll probably have heard some other things. This is just a total aside, but how is the left responding to this? You could say there are a lot of stories to tell, but on TikTok, there was one supporter of Joe Biden who looks to be a transgender woman. And this was the response, clip 12.
He's knocked out! He's knocked out! Joe Biden, please!
All right, that's enough. I mean, this guy is a guy with nails painted and spiky hair and just weird. But, you know, this is the thing. I know that we could laugh. I don't feel like laughing right now. But our country is filled with kids who are just so messed up. You know, high on hormones, dangerous. There have been a lot of transgenders involved in some of these major shootings. But this is the kind of people we have fostered. We've allowed this to happen. And it occurs to me, if you're a pastor listening to me now, you have contributed to this. If you have not talked about transgender hormones and operations and all of these things for kids in your congregation or parents or grandparents, if you've not addressed that and taken that on and not seen that as a moral issue, then this is partly on your shoulders. It's on your shoulders. We have a nation of crazy people. I have one other illustration of that. After the convention, a group of people were standing over a bridge holding up signs, American flags. So this is how a lot of America is responding to that, the nomination of President Trump. So you heard the transgender woman in the car, you know, pulling her hair and screaming. So this is the response of some leftists to some Trump supporters after the convention, standing on a bridge with American flags. I just thought you might want to hear how some of America is responding. Clip 14.
Get off this overpass, you racist. Your kind is not allowed up here.
No,
you come up here all the
you.
Time. No one stands with you, you racist. What are you going to do with this video?
You are 100% evil. You are 100% You are 100% terrorist traitors to this country, just like him. And you to burn in hell, death. You will burn in hell. I'm sorry that the guy was an inch off.
That's pretty much what political debate in America has become.
Oh, we had this gun today last night.
All right, so it's just wicked. I mean, the demons are raging. And we will feel this effect. We cannot remain untouched by this. But I'm going to get to, don't go away. I'm going to get to the part where God is present, okay? But we have to know what's going on. We can't really put our heads in the sand and act as though this is not going to touch us. I remember, you know, how did we get to this point? Well, in part, we got here with a certain candidate named Obama. And I'm going to play for you kind of a video to remind you his role, because I'm going to make the point that he's behind the scenes on all of this, okay? So I want to remind you of his role in making Trump's presidency. It could have been a disaster. It's amazing how Trump got as much done as he did. That's the real incredible story. But let's just go back in time and remember. This is clip six.
Trump will not be president.
Highly critical, biased text messages between senior FBI officials Peter Strzok and Lisa Page.
There will be no question about the outcome of this election.
And she got ahead of herself. This utterly stunned this campaign.
Head home. You should get some sleep. We'll have more to say tomorrow.
Our constitutional democracy enshrines the peaceful transfer of power.
The peaceful transition of power is one of the hallmarks of our democracy.
We want to do everything we can to help you succeed, because if you succeed, then the country succeeds.
These declassified documents that were just released.
Officials in the Obama administration were asking for the identities to be unmasked of Americans.
Unmasking of aides and staffers of the incoming president.
The basic charge, political spying.
To disrupt the peaceful transfer of power.
Unmasking of American citizens it could be a real problem.
Why is it that the unmasking of Flynn somehow ended up in the pages of the Washington Post?
I know nothing about those moves to investigate Michael Flynn.
The vice president said that yesterday. And then the last name on this list is Joe Biden.
The Obama administration was bitter. They wanted to do everything they could to undermine the incoming Trump administration.
Really designed to sabotage and really upend the new administration.
An outgoing president and a vice president and a Washington Post columnist and the FBI setting up an incoming administration.
Wow,
that's a real conspiracy. And nobody wants to talk about it.
All right, this is such a great montage. I had to play it for you, but just keep this in mind. President Obama's staff has been staffing the White House since Joe Biden came in. They are the ones that have been doing what they've been doing. Do I need to enumerate how bad it's been? I remember that video at Christmas time where all these gay and weird people were dancing like elves through the halls of the White House. You know, they President Obama selected Joe. It was really his choice. He's the one that pushed him because he could be controlled. And so with the Obama staff behind him, they got what they wanted. And they advanced the complete transformation of America very, very well. And you will remember that Obama was in a video saying, you know, he wouldn't mind serving another term if he could, you know, be behind the curtain and sit, you know, sitting in a basement and someone else was, you know, doing all the, you know, had to do all the appearances. So this is what we have. And if you think that's a stretch, I want to make my point even more clearly. I read this to you a week ago. Parts of it, I read it to you. This was a proposal that the Obama team gave to the Democratic operatives to suggest, this is before the Republican convention, but to suggest how they might get rid of Biden and install the candidate they want. And I want you to listen. This, and this again, is this before the convention? This is before Joe stepped down yesterday from running for president, for having the presidential candidacy of this next election. Okay, so it's called A Plan that avoids chaos and preserves the democracy. Our finest hour. Synopsis: Biden will lose in November badly. Widely held concerns have been solidified and are irreversible. His decisive loss will cost many down-ballot candidates their elections. MAGA Republicans will control the White House, the U.S. Senate, and the U.S. House. Game over for the America we love. Then it goes on and says, talks about a choice. What's going to happen if he stays in? We reject this false choice. This crisis, never waste a good crisis. This crisis gives us the gift of implementing a bold plan that electrifies the Democratic Party, turns the tide in elections across the country, and preserves America's democracy. And here's the plan. Now, this first part of the plan is a speech for the ages, and you might recall if you listen that I said they're going to portray Joe Biden. They wanted him to make this huge speech and at the end step down, and they would shouted from the housetops that he was like George Washington, who refused to serve more than two terms as president. Their goal was from goat to hero. That's how they say it. Energy surges through the Democratic Party. For Republicans, their worst nightmare. Next category. Remember, this is like almost 2 weeks ago. A blitz primary. Recognizing the unusual times, they have to adopt a bold, unifying blitz primary process that breaks from constricting protocol. In other words, throwing out all the rules and all the tradition of the party, and also throwing out, I think, the 14 million people, consideration of the 14 million Democrats who actually gave Biden the nomination. Forget that. We're going to start from scratch and have this new blitz primary. So this is their plan. The six candidates getting the most support are selected and announced the morning of July 19th. Well, they're a little behind, but not too much. Back to the script. As part of the selection process, every candidate must sign a pledge committing to running a positive campaign free of inter-squad sniping. And listen to this. As one of the six, Vice President Kamala Harris expresses emphatic support, welcoming the opportunity to advance her vision in a nominating process reflecting democratic principles. Okay, now listen to me. Kamala Harris has already embraced this process, and everyone's acting as though she's going to be the candidate. This is on the script. Why wouldn't she be demanding that Joe Biden step down and she step into his position as president and then be on the ballot as the next candidate because she was on the ballot with him? Why wouldn't she do that? So she's playing the game too. Oh yes. Oh yeah. I'm glad we're gonna have a competition. I'm gonna show what I can do, is what she's saying. And this was written 2 weeks or distributed 2 weeks ago. So the convention, an exceptional team led by Jeff Katzenberg, a producer, Hollywood producer, springs into action to produce 5 weeks of riveting content leading up to the convention. They strike the perfect balance between the election's gravity and a mesmerizing process captivating the nation. Front and center are weekly forums with these dynamic leaders. But instead of trotting out the same old TV talking heads, the forums will have Oprah, Doris Kearns Goodwin, Michelle Obama, Taylor Swift, Tim McGraw, Charlemagne the God, and Stephen Colbert. Forums are substantive and blank interesting. Viewing audiences are massive, including the disengaged millions with no interest in a Biden-Trump rematch. The nomination. Anyway, goes on to say the nominee would be chosen by rank voting. They will eliminate somebody every night. It will be like a game show, I'm telling you that. They're going to have this build, this elimination, these videos, these biographies. And on the last night, they're going to choose the candidate. Yeah, the candidate. And then they say, to close, the plan is achievable. This plan is inspiring. This plan ensures Joe Biden's place in history, honored for following in George Washington's footsteps. This plan will produce a ticket that wins in November, boosting down-ballot candidates. This plan will turn back the ruthless but competent attack waged by MAGA forces seeking to turn America into a white nationalist Christian autocracy. We face the biggest threat to our democracy since Adolf Hitler and World War II. We can limp to a shameful, avoidable defeat, or we can make this our finest hour. All right, well, I'm just giving you a taste. Bruce, you've been sitting there silently. My husband and sweetheart is with me in this, of course. We're both watching and reading so many things. I've said a lot. There's a lot more to say. But so far, I would really like to stop to get your thoughts, maybe on Biden or whatever I've said here.
Well, I think it is really disturbing as a citizen of the United States that I do not know where my president is. I don't know what's happened to him. I don't know if he's alive. I don't know if he's competent. I don't know if he's in charge. I don't even know where he is. They tell us he's in Rehoboth. We haven't seen him in days. And, you know, I think it was a real tip-off when there was an announcement that Joe Biden had COVID, because so many people give that such latitude. If you'd say he had the flu or a cold, you wouldn't give it much credence. But when some use the word COVID, so many people freak out, and that gives them a lot of cover. I think Joe Biden was just failing, and they needed a way to get him out of the spotlight, because, you know, they had a video of him trying to walk up the stairs of Air Force One right before the COVID announcement, and he looked terrible.
Question about that.
I find it inconceivable that a media person like Joe Biden, who's been in office 54 years, would choose to make not a resignation statement, but a statement regarding stepping out of the campaign using X or Twitter. Twitter X is owned by Elon Musk, who is probably the biggest supporter of Donald Trump right now.
Yeah, he's going to donate $45 million a month for the next 3 months. Yeah,
this makes no sense. That no one in the White House really, it sounds like, was advised in advance. I know when we throw around the word coup, we have to be careful. It's like using the word Nazi. You better know what you're talking about when you use the word coup. But this has the makings of it. We don't know where the president is. This is being announced in such a strange way. You know, Joe Biden has been so front and center the last month in regards to everything Joe Biden. And all of a sudden, she's not around. She's not talking. This statement by the president's brother, Frank, that, I think this is sort of a misdirection, making it sound like President Biden has some kind of terminal illness. We've certainly never been told that. And I'll tell you what, it just to show you even within the Biden family how things are crazy. Immediately after Frank Biden made that statement, a spokesperson for Joe Biden came out and called Frank an alcoholic who hasn't seen his brother
yet.
In years. You know, the news story kind of tried to massage it. But that's what happened, is they said, hey, he's an alcoholic. He doesn't know what he's talking
about.
Yeah,
well, of course, you don't know who's telling the truth. And probably there's lies in all of it, because that's the family, you know, Joe is just a liar. He always has been.
Well, you know, Joe made a statement just recently when he was asked, are you going to drop out of the election? And his statement was, his response was, only if I'm told to do so by a doctor or by God. Now, if he's a man of his word, what is it?
Yeah,
Because there was no explanation in that letter. And, you know, I want to talk about that letter, because that is such a strange way to communicate this is a momentous decision, a sitting president not standing for re-election. This hasn't happened since Lyndon Johnson. And, you know, I have to tell you, I have experience with these letters that they're what are called auto-signed, because you were talking about the signature on this X post.
Right.
When I was in the FBI, I remember I had hit my 10th anniversary, and I got a letter from Director Louis Free, and it was signed. It looked like it was his signature, and I thought, wow, that's really impressive. He signed my letter, and an older agent says, don't let it go to your head, kid. He goes, there's an auto-signature device that he, believe me, Louis Free did not sign that letter. So
here we are. And you know, one point you brought this up, let me just add this other thing. Of course, now we have the Democratic candidate for president in July, right before the election in November, stepping down suddenly without speaking, just sending a letter and posting it on Twitter. Think about that. So, and silence. Okay, and so it's like, it's normal. It's like, it's, this is what they do. It's like they try to keep things like this down, tap it down. And the other thing they've tapped down, which I don't want to pivot to talking about this because, but I just want to make the point. President Trump was nearly assassinated just a little bit over a week ago. And the press, it's just like it didn't happen. It's a non-event. They talked about it for a few days and now it's, you know, so they want us to talk about this. They don't want us to talk about that other stuff.
Yeah, it really is a misdirection, I think, Sandy, trying, just doing exactly what you said, you know, that the Republicans had a whiz-bang convention. Mm-hmm. President Trump was almost assassinated. Everyone was talking about it. And, you know, don't you find it strange when President Trump was nearly assassinated, within 2 days, Joe Biden made three statements. And they were all badly handled. And when he spoke to the nation on Sunday night after the assassination attempt on Saturday, he couldn't get through the statement. He called Trump former Trump. I mean, he made all kinds of mistakes. Now, here's this momentous decision regarding Joe himself stepping out of the campaign. And he does not appear and make a statement, either by videotape or live.
Yeah.
I find that it's inconceivable.
It is. Well, we're being played. We don't exactly know everything. I just read to you what I think is the roadmap. As I said a few weeks ago, I think it's actually happening, and I stand by my statement. They're going to appoint someone. They're going to select. It will not be a fair process, but you're going to think it is. Oh, it'll be fine. It'll be bells and whistles, and you'll have all the your favorite stars, Oprah and the others, telling you how wonderful it all is. It'll be soft lighting and lights and camera. It'll be just as phony as it can be, but you won't know it because they're good at this. So, and they're going to select someone, and I believe it's going to be Michelle Obama. They are not going to give this to Gavin Newsom or some governor. They want a slam dunk. They have not come this far and even gone to the extreme measures of getting Joe out to select someone who might have a chance against Donald Trump. They're not going to do that. And so at one point someone made, which I think is very important, if they really wanted Kamala Harris for their candidate, and I'll talk about her briefly, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on her because I think this is all smoke and mirrors. Why didn't they just invoke the 25th Amendment? Why didn't they do that? Then Kamala would have stepped right into the presidency and right into, you know, her role as now the presidential nominee as opposed to the vice presidential nominee. That would have been a lot easier. And why did Kamala so easily agree to this? I just think it's all because it's laid out in that plan. So I want to say a few things about her. I want to remind you, I don't want to talk about, again, I'm going to make this short, but this is Kamala. Remember when she ran for president, she actually, she had to drop out because people didn't like her. They just didn't like her. And that's why they've kept her kind of in the background all of this time. They've kept trying to reform her, reshape her, and have a launch of Kamala Harris in a new way. It just doesn't work. And this is a pretty good, actually, representation of Kamala Harris. This is clip 17.
Poor hubby.
No.
Right, that's enough. That's enough. It goes on and on, and that's typical. I mean, that's a long montage, and it's like different places. That's not something looped in a video chain. I've said on this mic that I think she's doing drugs. I don't know about hard drugs. Marijuana she loves. She's told that. At least she's hinted that she loves marijuana, and she has all the markings of it. And this is the woman. As a matter of fact, let me just tell you, she's received the endorsements of something like 200 House Democrats, 32 Senate Democrats, 12 of the nation's 23 Democratic governors. Now, this could have been updated. This was as of yesterday, last night. Two key unions, the SEIU, the AFT. But the point is, you know, this is not the plan. This is just not going to happen. Kamala's not going to be the candidate. So we could spend a lot of time. I know a lot of Republicans are talking about it. It's not going to happen. I can just tell you it is not going to happen. So the New York editorial board has already moved. Now, they've moved, according to this, although I'm not so sure. Charlie Kirk says that they've already moved against Kamala, advocating instead for another blitz primary or an open convention, which is the Obama's way. Now, I want to tell you something else that's happening here. Listen to me if you can. There are deep factions in the Republican Party who now you are seeing raise their heads, and if you don't know the players, you won't know, but there is a huge divide and an animosity between the Clintons, who are paired with Biden, who are paired with the black Democrats, for the most part. All of them are aligned behind Kamala. And there are others, too, as you saw it, I just read to you. But the Obama faction is a totally different group, and they all hate each other. So Obama has his own faction, and they have a ton of power because they're the ones in the White House. They're the ones that, you know, they have infiltrated the agencies. He has power. He has power. So here's a wrinkle that happened just yesterday. Alex Soros has endorsed Kamala Harris. Now, of course, he has $25 billion of the family empire. That doesn't seem to sound like enough to me. I think they have more than that. This is George Soros' son, and George Soros has handed the baton to his son, Alex, to handle all the money. So why would that? Why is that important to what I just said? Well, Alex Soros is now, to all appearances, ready? Are you ready? Engaged to Huma Abedin. Well, who's Huma? Huma Abedin was Hillary Clinton's right-hand woman at the Secretary of State's position. She was very controversial at the time, Muslim Brotherhood connections, and there was some suspicion about the relationship between Hillary Clinton and Huma Abedin, I'm just telling you. But she's all about Hillary, and now she's engaged to Alex. So this is going to be very interesting. Who is going to prevail? Who's going to prevail in this fight that we're going to be watching?
Well, I'm just listening to people talk about what's going on here, and it never fails to show the naivety of people, either that or an agenda, because I think what the Democrats are pushing right now, like through their people like Mark Halperin, is that Kamala is going to be the candidate, but the Democratic Party does not want this to look like a coronation of her. And the only reason that the Obamas have not come forth with their endorsement of Kamala is for that reason, that they don't want to make it look too easy. Now, think about that, Sandy.
That's the party line right now?
Yeah. I think that is absolutely ridiculous.
That's absolutely
ridiculous. The Democrats are always about winning.
That's right.
And if you don't believe that, look at how they treated Joe Biden. When they thought he could win this election, he was the greatest thing ever. They covered for him. The media covered for him. They hid all this stuff about his infirmities. And then after the debate, a calculus was reached that there is no way Joe Biden can beat Donald Trump. He has to go. It just shows you their lack of loyalty to people. So if you follow that, I think if you follow logic, if the Democrats really believe Kamala Harris could win this election against Donald Trump, they would make her the president right now.
That's right. That's
what I'm
saying.
They would have Joe Biden not just leaving the campaign. He would be resigning as the president, and they would do exactly what you said, Sandy. They would set it up so it looks like he's the master state, the elder statesman. He's gracefully passing the baton onto an incredible candidate, a woman of color. You know how the Democrats love to play politics with race. They would set this thing up so that she looked great and would be a great candidate. They are not doing that.
No, they're not doing that. So one last thing before we take a break here. Speaker Mike Johnson made a statement. He said, at this unprecedented juncture in American history, we must be clear about what just happened. The Democratic Party forced the Democrat nominee off the ballot just over 100 days before the election. Having invalidated the votes of more than 14 million Americans who selected Joe Biden to be the Democrat nominee for president, the self-proclaimed party of democracy has proven exactly the opposite. The party's prospects are no better now with Vice President, then he goes into the political thing, claiming she will be have to take on the burden of the Biden record. But that, to me, that's irrelevant. But he goes on to say, regardless of the chaos in the current White House, our adversaries around the globe should be reminded that the U.S. Congress, the U.S. military, and the American people are fully prepared and committed to defend our interests both at home and abroad. If Joe Biden is not fit to run for president, he is not fit to serve as president. He must resign the office immediately. November 5th cannot arrive soon enough. Okay, so we are in real danger, and I wanted you to hear that. And you notice he's giving a shout-out to foreign powers watching this window of time where they could do their nonsense because, for heaven's sake, who's in charge? So, ladies and gentlemen, we have problems, but I want to pivot now. We're going to take a break because I want to tell you about the incredible way God has shown up in so many ways. I don't want you to end this program discouraged. I want you to end it with the proper perspective that there's nothing he can't do, nothing he can't intervene in, that he brings down the powers of wickedness at whenever he gets ready. And so hold on to your seatbelts because we'll be right back after this.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
One thing you can count on, if the Democrats win this election, there will be more abortion for all 9 months. There'll be all kinds of ways. They are in favor, some of them, of being able for the mother to be able to choose to terminate the baby's life after its birth if she decides she doesn't want it or if it has a disability. That's how extreme it is. And that's why we have to prepare. And one of the things that will not change, God willing, is the ministry Preborn, where they show ultrasounds to moms in crisis pregnancies, just appealing to them directly that's a baby, that's their baby in their womb. And so that is the most powerful way to fight this wickedness that's coming at us, and it is coming at us, and it's going to get worse, I'm afraid. If you want to help, and I think you do, because so many of you have, go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
I'm not supposed to be here tonight. Not supposed to be here. And I'll tell you, I stand before you in this arena only by the grace of Almighty God.
So I talked to you last week about God's presence in that convention. I've never seen anything like it. I'm not an active Republican. Like, I'm not part of the party. I never have been. I never wanted to be because I feel like I have to be objective because I certainly take on the Republicans. I get so angry. You know that if you listen to me. That's my job, is to speak the truth and not have favorites for wrong reasons. So a lot of times when I've been at Republican events, it's a big party because a lot of the people that run the party are not believers. That's been changing because of the MAGA movement, because of President Trump, because a lot of Christians have gotten involved. But it's still not controlled by, you know, people that you might think. It's usually a party. I didn't see that. I'm not saying there weren't some, but I just saw this incredible seriousness. I heard this constant mention of the name of God, and not just talking about it, but meaning it. I think of Tucker Carlson. Tucker gave his speech, and this is the last part of his speech. This is clip 7.
What's happened over the past month since the debate? And particularly on Saturday in Butler, I think a lot of people are wondering, what is this? This doesn't look like politics. Something bigger is going on here. I think even people who don't believe in God are beginning to think, well, maybe there's something to this. Actually. And I'm starting to think it's going to be okay, actually. I do think that. In the day after the midterm elections in 2018, Antifa came to my house. The Democratic Party's militia, okay? I was at work. It was obvious when I was at work because it was public. My wife was home alone. They tried to come in through the front door. They terrorized her. She hid in our pantry. It was on television. It was horrible, actually. It was, I mean, I'm not whining about it. I wasn't getting shot in the face, but it wrecked our day. And the next morning, we're lying in bed, and the phone rings for my wife, and it's Donald Trump, who's not like a regular text buddy of Donald Trump's. She picks it up, hello? Susie, it's Donald Trump! And it's coming through, I can hear it. You know, I'm lying in bed, whoa! And the first thing he says is, I'm gonna stand guard outside your house. And she goes, oh, it's so nice. And he says, I'll never forget this as long as I live. He says, you know, there's a lot of hate out there. And she said, you know, there is, Mr. President. And then he says, but there's a lot of love. There's a lot of love. And we are seeing that love. I don't think it's human love. And I'll just stop with this. I'm not always convinced that I'm on the right side. I've been on the wrong side many times. You'll never hear me say I'm on God's side or God's with me or even I'm with God. I want to be. Not sure I am. But I will say this unequivocally and conclusively. God is among us right now. And I think that's enough. God bless you.
All right, Sandy Rios back with you. Man, it was just that way on the stage all the time. Not everybody, but a lot. And so Franklin Graham came. And Franklin, of course, has been a strong supporter of President Trump. He made it clear that he was there on his own. But Franklin clarified that this was not a broad thing about God. This was about his son, Jesus, faithful to bring the gospel. Here's Franklin Graham.
As a private citizen who loves this country, I've been asked to say a few words and then to pray, and we're going to do that. Last Saturday in Butler, Pennsylvania, President Trump had a near-death experience, no question. But God spared his life. And when we go through those experiences, it changes us. It can cause us to examine our lives and to reevaluate our priorities, as you should. When President Trump rose from that platform, he rose with his fist raised in strength, showing America his unshakable resolve to fight for them in this nation. I cannot explain why God would save one life and allow another one to be taken. I don't have the answer for that. But one thing I do know is that God loves us, and he wants us to be with him in heaven one day. And that's through faith in his son, Jesus Christ. You see, the Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shouldn't perish, but should have everlasting life.
All right, so that was the Republican convention, usually a party. And they listen while Franklin Graham brings them the gospel and explains why they feel God in that room. He explains it without saying that. And then he pivots to the prayer. Now, I want to paint a picture for you, if you weren't watching this. Franklin prays, and as he prays, the place is quiet. I want you to listen for that. When he says he's going to pray, the place gets quiet. There are always people talking. There are always people making noise at these. There's thousands of people there. They get quiet. The camera pans the audience. There are people with their hands in the air. There are faces that are zeroed in on that are earnestly in the presence of God praying. And it's just all over. It's not just a few. The camera doesn't have to search hard to find those faces. And the face that they pointed to that really moved me was President Trump's. Well, I'm going to play this clip, and then I'm going to tell you why after that, because I have something really pretty profound to say. So let's listen to Franklin Graham's prayer at the last night of the Republican convention.
I'd like us to pray, but I'd like us all to stand as we call upon the name of the God of heaven. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening with grateful hearts. Thank you for saving the life of President Donald J. Trump. In his own words, it was you and you alone who saved him. We pray for the others that were injured on Saturday, for the family who lost their loved one. Put your loving arms around them. Comfort them, and may they sense your presence. We stand before you tonight. We say thank you for the provisions you have given to the United States of America. You have blessed this country more than any country in the world. Sadly, as a nation, we have forgotten who is responsible for all the freedoms, the liberties, and the bounty that we enjoy. It has all come for you. Thank you. This evening, our nation is in trouble. We're divided politically, racially, economically, with millions of people seeking refuge and hope in our dry and thirsty land. You're the only one who can fix the complexity of the problems that we face today. We pray for President Trump that you would give him wisdom, strength, and a clear vision for the future of this nation and the task that is at hand. Continue to protect him from his enemies. I pray that you would surround him with men and women who will give him sound counsel and guidance. We pray for Melania, for Barron, and for all the President Trump's children and grandchildren. We pray for Senator J.D. Vance, his wife Ulsa, along with their young family. We're thankful for his strong stand for defending life. As your word instructs, we also pray for the leaders of our nation, whether they're Republican, Democrat, or Independent. We know that all authority comes from you. You are a great God, and we ask that if it be thy will, that you will make America great once again. And we ask that you'll unite our hearts, bring us together, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And we pray this in the mighty name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen.
I haven't heard something that stirring since 9/11, when I was stranded in Beijing, watching CNN to see that prayer breakfast happening and just see how my country had changed after 9/11. But I have a personal story to tell you. And this is very personal. I've never spoken about it at the mic. There's a reason why I've never called President Trump a Christian. When he was running in 2016, I know a lot of pastors and others got excited and they did claim that. I never claimed that, and I had a good reason not to claim it. And it boils down to actually one experience that I had, and that was I was in the White House in the Roosevelt Room, and there were a group of us meeting with President Trump. And we decided to start our meeting the way we always start our meetings. We came on a mission, and it wasn't to just meet with the president. We had a mission, and so we started with prayer. And to President Trump's right was Jenny Thomas. To my left was Tom Fitton. And then there were others at the table. And so Jenny asked me if I would pray for the opening of the meeting. President Trump's right across the table from me. So I bowed my head and I prayed. I prayed for him. I prayed for his family. And when I finished praying, I looked up to see that he was looking all around the room. He never bowed his head. And he said immediately when I said amen, he looked at Tom and he said, "Tom, you had your head bowed. Are you one of them?" And that's how the conversation went. See, Trump did some wonderful things, and I always told you and still tell you to look at what a man does, not what he says. Look at what a man does, not what he says. But in that moment, I realized that he did not know. He just didn't. He didn't understand. So contrast that with the Republican National Convention. I was watching closely as the camera panned to President Trump and his family, but mostly him, because during Franklin's prayer, he bowed his head. He closed his eyes the entire prayer. And when Franklin was finished, he said, "Amen." Now, that's why I believe there's been a tremendous change in him. I'm not going to claim more than I should claim. I think that we'll see how that fell on what kind of soil. We'll see. But I believe he's a changed man, and I wanted to share that with you. And I have one last clip to play, but I want to bring Bruce in because I know you've been sitting here very quietly, honey. Did you have any, just how does that strike you?
Well, I think you're right on. As Dr. Graham observed, near-death experiences can really change a person. I know it's done it in my life. But you think of the ego of Donald Trump. He is not the kind of person that changes very easily. But think about, he came probably within an inch of being killed on that Saturday evening. And that's probably the magnitude of a near-death experience that it took if Donald Trump was ever to change. And I think, based upon exactly what you talked about, your observations, because I remember when you came home from that meeting years ago, and people were saying that Donald Trump was a Christian, and you said, "You know, I don't think so, Bruce. I tell you what I saw in this meeting when we prayed." And then, as you contrasted, the way he responded Thursday night at the convention when Dr. Graham prayed, and that was a long prayer. And, you know, Donald Trump is shot out of a cannon all the time.
He always looks to look around the room.
He's always like, he's always looking, he's always on guard. He's the alpha dog.
Yeah.
He is the ultimate alpha dog. And alpha dogs don't like to be, shall we say, swayed to do other things than they would normally do by other people. But in this case, just as you said, President Trump kept his head down and his eyes closed and said amen at the end.
And it's humility. It's the acknowledgement of God, which he's done verbally too. So, all right, so what does that mean to all of us? Well, to me, we saw God at that convention. That was not just a mere passing or a glimpse. That was the power and presence of God among thousands of people in that rally. We saw a life change. That was President Trump. I think we've seen other lives change too. Tucker Carlson sounds like a preacher. You know, lives are changing. And so I say to you, as we continue to cover this bad stuff that we talked about today, do not lose heart. Do not lose heart. Do not underestimate the power of God. And no matter what happens, God is going to show himself. Even if it doesn't develop the way we might hope, wish, or pray for, God is going to show up. He is going to show up. He never does things the way we expect, so don't expect that. But he also laughs at the plans of men. Remember that scripture, I think it's in the Psalms, that God, man makes their plans and God laughs. God from the heaven laughs. So we'll see if this plan by Barack Obama and his friends is going to work. We'll see if that's going to work or if God is going to have another idea. I don't know. But the one thing is true. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the creator of the universe, and he's not going to leave us now. I want to close with this last clip. This was when the Air Force One, it used to be, they call it Trump Force One now, was leaving the airport in Milwaukee. And this is what came out of the tower as he was leaving the final night of the convention. This is clip two.
7 Alpha Foxtrot, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Trump Force One, contact departure.
Trump Force One to departure. Thank you for that, sir.
All right. Well, that's it for today. I hope you've enjoyed or benefited or worshipped or fretted, you know, in a good way about what's happening in the country. But be of good courage, because God is not finished with us yet. In closing, I want to thank our sponsors, Timothy Plan. You put your money where your values are and discover how to be a biblically responsible investor. Visit timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy, or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. Well, thank you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.